Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt. My name is Bodhi, and I am your host. And I think that's how I normally introduce this show, but now I can't remember, so I'm feeling a little self-conscious. Anyway, we have a really cool show this week. Last week, Allison Sheridan sat down with Cheyenne Swinson on Allison's show, Chit Chat Across the Pond, and they talked about Cheyenne's new Kia EV6. It was a really good interview, and Allison asked, would you like to air this interview on your show? And I said, absolutely, free content. Now you're speaking my love language. Speaking of love languages, one of my love languages is giving. So if you're listening to my voice right now, you've already downloaded the podcast, and I've already got credit for the ads for you downloading the podcast, so that's awesome. So what I would like you to do is I would like you to go to your podcatcher, wherever you listen to your podcast, and I want you to type in Chit Chat Across the Pond. I want you to find the episode with Allison and Cheyenne. It was recorded on, or I should say it was released on February 24th, and it is episode number 716. And you can listen to the interview there. That way, the next time Allison releases an episode, which he does weekly, you'll get it automatically. Okay, I'm going to pause for a few seconds for you to go ahead and do that. All right, for the four or five of you left over, I do not plan this podcast out well. I would like to thank our patron supporters, which I shouldn't have told people to go away and then thanked the people who actually support this show with their hard-earned money. So I'm sorry about that. But we have a new Patreon supporter, Friendly Sleet 66, welcome to the Kilowatt community. And let's move on to thanking our OG supporters. They include Joseph, Jerbo, Jeffrey, Steve, Neil, Bruce, Isaiah, Anthony, Howard, Jessica Kirsch. I just talked to Jessica not that long ago. Hopefully she'll be on soon. Bruce, Elon Muskie, Adam, Rolando, Tommaso, and Vanilla Wafer. Ryan, Karen, Chip, Chris, Sierra, my Sierra, Dale, Don, Cameron, Nate, Mark, and James. Thank you, everyone, for supporting the show. It means a lot. I say this every week. All of the money that you contribute to the show goes back into the show. None of the money goes into my own pocket. My goal of this show is not to get rich, but I would like it to be able to pay for itself. Okay, a couple more things before we get to Allison and Cheyenne's interview. First thing, next week, we're going to talk about the ID Buzz, and if I can fit it in, we'll have the Lucid Motors earnings call. If not, if it's too much content, I might have to split that into two shows. And then after that, we should be back on regular news, you know, fingers crossed with any luck. And finally, I'm going to do the drawing for the Rivian tumbler cups. So that will be at the end of the show. So stay tuned if you're still here and listening and you didn't download Allison's podcast, which is totally okay if you did. I'll reach out to if you won. You don't have to be present to win. All right, let's go ahead and listen in to Allison Sheridan and Cheyenne Swinson talk about the Kia EV6.
Questions. Well, it's that time of the week again. It's time for Chit Chat Across the Pond. And this is episode number 716 for Thursday, February 24th, 2022. And my guest this week is returning guest Cheyenne Swenson. This is actually going to be a crossover episode for the Kilowatt Podcast with Bodie Grimm, because Cheyenne and I are going to talk about electric vehicles. Welcome back to the show, Cheyenne.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, we had a lot of fun last time you came on and tried to convince me about this crazy new math that you're forcing on the kids.
Yes. That was a lot of fun.
I really did enjoy that. That was great time. So I'm arithmetic challenged with a master's degree in engineering. So that was, I enjoyed it. But the reason I wanted to get you on the show was because you texted me a photo of the interior of your new car, and you said, "I got an electric vehicle and it looks like a spaceship."
Mm-hmm. I do now drive a spaceship. I am working on getting my pilot's license.
So what kind of electric vehicle did you get?
So I got the Kia EV6. It's a 2022, and it came out a couple weeks ago, I guess. There was a Super Bowl commercial about it this year, and so I had no idea. I missed that one commercial, and then I got to the dealership and was like, oh, what's that?
Are you serious?
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I was keeping track of the commercials because we were playing like a bingo game, and then everybody had won bingo. So then I didn't have to keep track of the commercials anymore, and I missed a couple. And then I found out later, I was like, oh, that's the one I missed with the robo dog.
I thought you were going to end up saying I bought it because of a commercial on the Super Bowl. It's like I bought a car on Instagram or something. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the basics of the car. This is a sedan. It's a coupe. It's a...
Yeah. Okay. So I'm wondering if crossover is the new, like, cool way to say hatchback. Is that true or not?
Actually, that's an interesting point. Yeah, we used to call them hatchbacks a long time ago. It's right? Sort of like an SUV, but sort of like more like a car, like it's like a car, yes. But it's taller. I don't know exactly the definition, but
me it's neither. I think it's a crossover.
Yeah,
because it's not like a sedan; like it doesn't have a standard trunk because it's open all the way back to the trunk.
Okay,
but it is like a hatchback if you're, you know, from before, if you were born before the year, I don't know, 1980, I guess. I don't know.
So let's back up a little bit before we get too far into the car. What made you want to get an electric vehicle? What was your big driver?
So the big thing was gas. Okay. It's so expensive. And I know that like charging your vehicle isn't free, although many people think it's free, which I thought was interesting. People are like shocked that I had to like pay to charge the car.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, I was like,
where did they think the electrons come from?
What? Nothing is free. Okay. But yeah, so it was mostly the gas prices. It's getting so expensive and it's never going to be 99 cents a gallon again, you know? So it's expensive and it's ridiculous. And so then I know that that's like, I feel like electric vehicles are like what's going to start happening more and more. And so I was just like, I guess that's, I was thinking about hybrid, and then I was like, no, I'm just going to go straight electric vehicle, just all the way.
Yeah, I think maybe the hybrids were a really good idea to bridge us into this idea, but it feels like the trend is more towards pure electric vehicles now. Mm-hmm. I do like the idea of hybrids. I had Sandy Foster on the show to talk about her hybrid Prius, and in a way they give you the kind of the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. But they also give you the worst of both worlds at the same time. So you have all of the complexity of both types of vehicles, but you have the advantages of both types of vehicles. And I think for people with range anxiety in particular, that might be a good way to go. But you went all in on an EV. Now, what car did you own prior to the EV6?
I had a Volvo, the smaller SUV, the XC60. So I had originally gotten that car because I had a camper, and it was the smaller... the smallest SUV I could get without having to get like a big SUV to tow the
camper. You needed the hitch.
Yes. And I needed, like I had a Honda CR-V and that didn't have the tow capacity. So then I just had to get like a slightly bigger SUV, but I didn't want to get like a, you know, like a Tahoe or Explorer or anything like that. So I got like the smallest of the ones I could get that would still be able to tow the camper.
No, that's right. You sold her though.
I did. Her name was Beverly. Thank you for saying you sold her.
Yeah. Well, I felt like I knew Beverly. I'd seen so many pictures of her. Mm-hmm. But yeah. All right. So you don't
she went to a good home.
Okay, yeah. good. Yeah. Now you still have a camper, but it's a different kind of camper.
Exactly. And I can't tow that camper at all anyways. With the Volvo, I couldn't tow it anyways. It's too big.
Okay.
So now it was like, I don't need this SUV anymore. And also it was starting to have things wrong with it. And I was like, I don't know, like just now is the time.
Okay, cool. Now, I've been hearing a lot of great things about Kias. That's kind of been mm-hmm. the sleeper company that's kind of crept up on us. And I remember a few years ago, a friend of mine getting a Kia, and I'm like, well, what is a Kia? Yeah. You know, I got the car. Yeah. It was really nice.
Yeah.
It was really nice. I was like, that's crazy. So what cars did you consider?
Okay, so I was... The Kia and the Hyundai, I guess they're like parent companies. Both have like great warranties. Yes, they are. Oh. I didn't know that, but yes, they are. Because the Kia, like the Kia EV6 that I have is very similar. And I think it has the same, whatever drivetrain or something like that as the Hyundai Ioniq, I think it's called. So yeah, they're like parent companies. And so then I was thinking about the Hyundai Kona, which is like a small SUV. Maybe that's a crossover too. I don't know. Or the Kia Niro. But there are like really small. I also didn't want like a tiny car.
Okay.
So I was considering those two, and I knew that the Kia Niro was a little bit bigger than the Hyundai Kona, but those two cars are basically the same thing with just a different body around them. And I watched a bunch of YouTube videos. I also considered the Volvo XC40. They have a plug-in electric car too, but the Volvos, they're just like, I like them, but they're like so expensive.
Oh, right. Well, that was something that shocked me. So tell people, what's the MSRP? What's the list price on the EV6?
Okay. This is what also was interesting was that the list price was 48. That's what the sticker price was. But then they had just got the cars in and they're marking up all cars. Apparently mm-hmm. there's like a huge markup situation. So it was actually marked up to 53.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know.
And then we kind of argued about it.
Kind of going through that.
Yeah,
it's not uncommon.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And then I saw on like an EV forum, everyone's like, well, does anyone know like if there's any Kia dealers that aren't doing it? And someone said something about something in Victorville that they weren't doing it. And I was like, well, I'm not driving out there. So yeah, but they have like a $7,500 markup.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Dude, and it wasn't even on the sticker price yet.
Jeez. So you said you said you started arguing with it. Did you succeed at all?
No. They were just like, no, that's how it is. And then because it's like they know they'll just sell the car to somebody else. You know, they weren't really like they did come down a little bit. I did get them to come down a little bit, and then that wasn't like, and they did, it wasn't any part of their thing. They were like, nope, that's the markup, $7,500. Okay.
I remember once trying to bargain with somebody at one of the like TV places, and I mm-hmm. can bargain on anything. I can get something mm-hmm. for nothing, right? And finally, mm-hmm. The guy was just doing nothing. I said, all right, mm-hmm. I want free batteries for the remote control. And he said, all right, I'll give you that. And when I went to take the box, I said, where's my free batteries? He says, they were already in the box.
They did like, they're like, well, we could take $750 off, but that's one of the rebates for the electric vehicle or whatever, the California electric, the EV rebates. That's one of them. And I was like, well, okay. I would have applied for that anyways. So thanks. Whatever.
Did it make a big difference to you being able to get the California rebates?
I always had that in mind. I was like, okay, so like whatever it is, I know that I can get the rebates, and then like next year a tax credit, hopefully. That was always in the back of my mind too.
A year later? Oh, you'll get for this year.
For the 20, because I already, it's already 2022. So
right. Yeah, those are a pretty good deal. So what kind of criteria were you using? You said you wanted something SUV-ish, but not big. But not
exactly. And then not too small, not too big. I felt like Goldilocks a little bit. You know, like not too, this car is too small, this car is too big. The range was a big deal. I wanted it to be around 300. I didn't want to have to charge all the time. And then like the price, like I didn't want to, you know, fork over a bunch for like a Volvo. Okay. That was like really expensive, but I also didn't want to go, you know, like too low. So the price had something to do with it. Oh, and then yeah, like the size was kind of a big deal. I didn't want like a tiny little car. So.
Yeah. Okay. So, when you talked about charging, you live in a house?
Yes.
So can you, are you charging it at home?
Not right now. Yet. They said that, they were telling us that they didn't come with like a cord. I don't know. Like it sounds so weird. Like did
it's like you're walking out with
car come with a cord.
You're walking like out with a DVD cord. Player and there's no power cord.
Yeah. So there's no power cord. Cause they said that, the ones that they usually give are just the slow charge ones or whatever, the level one.
Okay.
And so no one really uses it. And so then they just stopped doing it. Wow. And they didn't have any level twos yet because the car is too new.
Okay.
And so they said they'll have those later. So I've just been charging at, there is a fast charger like around the corner from my house.
Okay. And is, who is that through? Is it like ChargePoint or one of those?
EVgo. EVgo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how fast it charges?
It charges, it said something about, they do like from 20 to 80% or whatever in like a little over an hour.
Okay.
Like, or a little under 2 hours, like between an hour and 2 hours with the level two charger. I learned all about that. Like level one, level two. I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah. I don't know the numbers either. I always talk about in miles per hour that it can, that it can charge. The superchargers go up to some insane speeds, but like at home we can charge on a 220 circuit, we can charge like 35 miles an hour. Which is nice because you plug it in before you go to bed and you wake up and you're fine.
Exactly. Yeah. So and then this, I noticed that there's like scheduled charging on this car. So, know, like I have the electric, the Edison like deal or whatever, the TOU, the time of use. So like, between 4 and 9, I need to use zero electricity. Yeah,
don't turn on the hairdryer. It costs you $85, right?
Oh my gosh. And I forgot about it. And I got like a over $200 electricity bill. I was like, oh, but it's so cold. And my heater's electric. But
so just a week ago, I just did we like to call a dumb question on the podcast from my friend, Mark. He has he's got the Hyundai Kona, I think.
Okay.
And he's got solar panels and he wanted to know when the best time to charge his car was. So just, you know how I am. I dug in and I just got all these metrics and all this data and I studied all the time of use charge for Southern California Edison and everything. Mm-hmm. And if you have solar panels, it mostly doesn't matter at all. But but the one thing you never, ever, ever, ever want to do is charge it between 4 and 9. There's no question of that.
Yeah.
But you'll be surprised at how little it costs to charge your car in the end.
Okay.
You know, if I didn't count the 4 to 9 part or 5 to 9 or 5 to 8, depending on which one you had, if I didn't count that time, the difference was like the cost of 1 gallon of gas between the two times of charging. So whether it's during the day or during the night, but just as long as you don't do it when it's super convenient right after work.
Exactly.
But you can do it when you go to bed, right? You go to bed, you plug it in, you'll be done. Yeah.
Exactly.
Having a charger at home, That to me is the most interesting thing about thinking about range anxiety, because people get really worried about, well, when I go on a road trip, you know, I go 800 miles and I never even stop to pee. You know, they say, okay, you go, you just have fun. You buy a different car. I don't even want to talk to
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
But normal people, you know, you stop every couple hours. You need a soda. Uh-huh. You gotta go to the bathroom. You need to stretch your legs, whatever. But the thing I like to add up is, how long does it take you to put gas in your car and be real? Because, if it irritates you to have to go get it, it isn't 5 minutes. I talk to people who go, oh, it only takes me 5 minutes. No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you wouldn't be annoyed when you forgot, right? And so take all of those times that you actually take to gas up your car. Now compare that to how much time you spend putting electricity in your car on one road trip a year, two road trips a year versus every single day of the week.
Yeah.
And it's, you're definitely netting saving time. There's no doubt about that, my opinion.
For sure.
Not my opinion. Mm-hmm. Facts. So let's see. We talked about the kind of car you wanted to get. So the EV6 seats, how many people?
Five people.
Okay.
Three in the back and then two in the front. Yeah.
Okay. And then do you have a front trunk?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like so what happens when you open that? There's no engine, right?
Well, it's weird because it looks like there is. Like it's different. Like I've seen, like when you open the Tesla, it's just like a trunk, right? Like just like a space. This has like, it has, you can see where the, like, there's some pink liquid. I'm not sure what that's for. You can see the windshield wiper fluid. And then there is like, it almost looks like a car, like engine right in the middle, but it's obviously not.
Maybe I think the motors.
It's part of the battery. It's part of the battery, they said.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And so that, like, you can open that up and there's a little space in there, which basically, so the EV6 comes with like a little plug thing to where, like, if you want to, like, I don't know, plug your microwave into it to power it.
Oh, you can power stuff off of it. Oh, it's got like an outlet.
Yes. So you, but it's like a, I should have brought it from outside so I could show you, but it's like a little thing where you like plug it into the back and then it's like a regular plug outlet. And you can plug stuff into the back of it. Yeah.
That's actually outlet. Fantastic because that means you could do things in an emergency, you know, you could plug things
like if
in.
There's like a power outage at home, then there's power. Exactly.
Yeah. We've got this giant battery in our car and we can't use it other than like I could charge my phone.
Yeah.
I can't plug my router in and get internet. Okay.
On the back of it. So that can fit in there. And then there's also, it doesn't have a spare tire. This is the first car I've ever had that doesn't have a spare tire.
That's so freaky.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
It has the kit or whatever. So that can fit in there.
Oh, the kit to like squeeze the goo inside.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I had to buy that separately with the Tesla, by the way. It's like another couple hundred bucks. So look, you're saving money right there.
There you go.
And then is the hatch pretty big? I mean, does your dog Belle fit in there?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. But she sits in the back seat. Okay. Have to put a big giant blanket down. And she has a
spoiled little girl.
She has a seat belt and she sits in the back seat and she's a very good car riding dog. Just lays there and takes a nap.
Yeah, Tesla hates being in the car. Maybe because we don't let her be in the back seat. We make her go in the very back.
Maybe. But the seatbelt helps because then she's not like wanting to like, you know, hang out up front.
Right. Also, I like to point out to people, physics works on dogs too. You know, so if you get in an accident, the dog will go flying through the windshield like you would.
Exactly.
So it turns out that's actually really important. A lot of people think physics doesn't apply to dogs. And I never figured out why.
Yeah, they'll still happen. Stuff will still happen to your dog. Absolutely. So, yeah, but I did just measure the trunk because I want to get a little thing for it. You know, like a little basket or whatever so I could put stuff back there. And it measured like 38 by 40.
Oh, that's a good size.
That's just the bottom part. And it does get a little bit wider towards the back, but it does like angle down quite a bit. So even though the like footprint is big, it's not like very tall.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense.
You know, because like the hatchback.
Because the hatch is at an angle.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And then the seats, they fold pretty flat.
Oh, good.
So
good.
It does offer a lot of space back there.
Okay. So you think you could lay down?
Oh, yeah, maybe? You could fully lay down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay, absolutely. So when you said 38 by 40, that's with the back seat as chairs.
That's with the back seat up.
Okay.
And then there's little levers, and then they fold down. And yeah, you could fully lay back there.
Okay, well, let's get into the good stuff. What's it like to drive?
Okay, I really feel like I'm driving a spaceship. It's like so quiet and so smooth. And I feel like I'm in the future. I live in the future now and I drive a spaceship. It's just like, because it doesn't have any lag.
Oh, right.
It's different. You know, it doesn't have any like, okay, well, I'm going to hit the gas, you know, and like go. It's just like, you just go, you know, I don't know. And it's hard to explain.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but it is hard to explain. It doesn't feel like driving a different kind of car. It feels like driving a something else, like the difference between a boat and a car. It's that different, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
So does the EV6 have regenerative braking?
Yes, it does. Which, and there's like little paddles on the steering wheel with a plus and a minus. So if you want more regenerative,
regenerative, it's a whole
regenerative braking, you can add, or if you just want it to be more like a car, a regular car, you can minus it, or you can set it to auto. And so it kind of knows, like, I think it's determined by the speed that you're going. Like if you're on the freeway going faster, it's, and you let off the accelerator, it's not going to just like jolt you to a complete stop because you're on the freeway. It kind of knows you're on the freeway.
Oh, that sounds good.
And then when you're on the streets, it kind of knows that you're on the streets. So it does give a little bit more. So I just set it to auto.
Yeah,
and that, it does it like sense.
One mm-hmm. of the things Steve pointed out with the EVs that is a safety thing I think most people don't talk about is if, let's say you're flying down the freeway at 65 miles an hour and somebody, you know, there's an accident in front of you or somebody stops suddenly, when you let go of the gas pedal, during the time you're getting to the brake, the car is still hurtling at 65 miles an hour, right? It's going to stay the same speed. But the second you pull your foot off of the accelerator on an electric vehicle, it is already starting to slow down. So I wonder whether that split second sooner you start to slow down could make the car safer.
Yeah, maybe. You know what I worry about, though, is like the people behind me, when I do let off the accelerator, like,
Are they
realizing I'm slowing down?
So check on your, do you have any kind of a display that shows you what the car looks like from the outside? Mine shows my car and I can see if I quite suddenly pull off the accelerator, the brake lights will light up.
Oh, they will. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to have to look at it. I don't have like a 360 camera.
Okay. Yeah. This is an animated graphic. It's a, it just shows you like what the, it shows you my car's red. So it's in red, you know, but it's a cartoon. But I would very much expect that your brakes are coming on. I don't know the conditions under exactly, like, I know if I just feather the accelerator, it's not showing the brake lights, but if I pull right off real quickly, then it will.
I might have to go old school and have someone just drive behind me and then tell me.
Yeah. Tell them, okay, I'm slowing down.
Okay, ready?
What do you see? Yeah. I think that's the right way to go. Now your car has something, my car doesn't have. You've got two big screens.
Two like long screens.
Yeah, yes. Super wide. Now, what are the, why two screens? What do they do?
So one is the touch screen for like the infotainment center. Okay. And then the hub of the car where, you know, I can like do settings for the car and all that. And then the other one is just like for me, where it has like, there's a few options for the center screen where I can see like my car, like cartoon of my car in the middle. And then it shows me like a little red light will light up if there's a car next to me or whatever. And then it shows for some reason, like the info part of that, when I scroll through it, is just tire pressure. And I don't know like why. I mean, I know that tire pressure is important, but I don't know why that's a choice for like,
oh, right, that you would have like at all times, I need to
at
keep
all
my
times,
eyes.
I must see the tire pressure. I'm like, can I change this to something else? And no, you cannot change it to something else. When you go to the little, like, that little screen, it is the tire pressure. That is all you can see. So
yeah, I used to mine a lot, and it did alert me once when my started showing red that two or three of my tires were getting low. I had to ask for it. It wasn't like in my face all the time. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I think that's weird. Like I can scroll to it, but it's like, why can I easily scroll to this? Like, why isn't that in the infotainment center or whatever, where like I could just look it up? I don't know. It was weird, but yeah. So then that's for me. And then it shows like, you know, the miles per hour and,
can you see the speed limit sign there?
The speed limit sign is actually in, I think I turned it off of there in the middle, but you can turn it on, but it's on my navigation, the map.
Oh, okay. Okay.
On the side, the map is on the side always.
Yeah.
The map is not ever in the middle.
That makes sense. Cause you're mm-hmm. you've usually got a pass or you've got, when you have a passenger, they need to be able to see it too. So you could be looking at the speed limit and you're choosing not to, is that what you're saying?
I know. Yeah.
Cheyenne.
I mean, I know what it is. It's right over there. Also, I can set up an alert and I was like, I don't need someone to alert me every time I'm 45 and a 40. Okay.
Yeah. We can have ours make noise. Ask me if I kept that on. Actually, you can.
I turn that off instantly.
I think you can set it for like 5 miles over if you want to.
Oh, okay. I should look at that. But I was like, no, I don't need to be alerted.
I do want to know what the speed limit is. I want situational awareness of that, because a lot of times I'm like, oh, I don't know what it is here. So
exactly. Yeah. So that's over on the maps. I can just look right over to the map.
Okay.
And I'll put me over on that side.
How big are these two screens?
I forgot to measure, like, I didn't measure like width and height, but they're diagonal 12 inches, but they're very narrow.
Yeah. So they're not very tall, but they're really wide.
Yeah. They're wide. They're not,
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's a lot of screen real estate to have two 12 inch screens. Mm-hmm. Now, does this car have CarPlay?
Yes, it does. If you plug in, it has CarPlay. It doesn't have like Bluetooth CarPlay, but you do have to plug in USB.
I think most of them are that way. And it's, I forget why. There's some technical reason why, I forget, but that's pretty normal. I know a lot of people who are like, I'm not going to buy a Tesla because it doesn't have CarPlay. And I find that really interesting. Did you have CarPlay before?
No, I didn't.
Okay. So now you get
to my car, like, even though it was a 2016, had like nothing. I didn't have a backup camera before.
Oh,
it was a 2016.
Wow.
I didn't have the back. I had to like go out and like lift it up. It didn't like automatically lift up. Yeah. What? I'm living in the future now. Okay. I don't have time to open my trunk. Okay.
And they got that one that you, I think it's Ford, that you put your foot under it and it goes up. I think that's hilarious.
Oh, this one, if you walk close to it, it'll open.
Oh, it will.
You can set that.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah.
One of the things I noticed in the picture that I'm super jealous of is, even though you're living in the future, you've got these two giant screens, got all this situational awareness, you still have actual dials for the temperature control.
I do. I do. Yes. I do have two dials for temperature control, and I push a button and then it switches, and then it's radio control. Those same two buttons.
You have a radio?
So I have like a radio. It came with Sirius.
Okay. For a while, at least.
Yeah, for a while. But yeah, so it can control the radio and the volume, or you just tap on the screen and then it switches to climate. So it has those two things.
Oh, that's cool. Mine has, I have to tap on a screen to change the temperature. And I know exactly where it is, but I have to take my eyes fully off of the road to change the temperature. And I'm really annoying in a car. I just like, I'm a degree too hot, a degree too cold, up, down, up, down, up, down. And it's literally 1 degree. And I talk to my friend Stephen Getz about this all the time. And he says, Allison, I haven't changed the temperature in my car in like 3 years. So I did it 4 times going to Starbucks. It's a quarter of a mile from here.
You know? Yeah. I also have buttons, like real buttons, for heated seats and cooled seats.
Ooh,
cooled seats. It's like a real button. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's ventilated seats.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, no, I have to definitely do that with, if I tap the up arrow on the temperature, it pops up a little thing that shows me that I could also turn on my heated seats.
Oh,
I have to
tap
it multiple times to get it to change how heated it is.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that's really dumb. I really think that
I do like the buttons sometimes. You're right. Like, it's just nice. I just want to push a button.
Yeah, because you can find
and
it.
And not have to. Yeah, you can find it easily. You don't have to tap to get to whatever screen.
I mean, since you're going like 20 miles over the speed limit, not even looking at
of
what
course.
The speed limit is.
Because right? Who cares?
Because you got your hand on the controls, right? Do you know if your car is going to get over-the-air updates?
I don't think it does. I looked into it, and it will get like infotainment updates, but it won't like update the car itself.
Okay,
you know what I mean? I guess I know like the Tesla,
map
you
updates
can
or whatever.
Yeah, it'll get like map updates and stuff like that, but it won't. And it says that's over-the-air, but it won't get like car updates. Like, I can't like change something in my car.
So you might get something like, you actually get a choice of whether to be constantly looking at your tire pressure.
I hope
they,
so.
They could change stuff.
I hope
like
they
that.
Update that. I feel like they could update that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was weird.
Brand new. That's crazy. So how is navigation with it?
I meant to use it this morning. I forgot because I'm so used to using, like, I like my navigation on my phone.
Okay. So using CarPlay?
It's like in there. Yes. Using CarPlay. Yeah. Okay. I have used the navigation on my phone, but it doesn't show me on the screen, but it just tells me where to go.
Yeah.
Because I'm not used to it. Because the one in the Volvo, I didn't like it. And so I always just like looked at the map in the Volvo, but then listened to my phone.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't have CarPlay in there either.
So situational awareness with the map on the Volvo nav. But if you really needed to know where do I turn, you were listening to the
phone. Then I would listen and I would look on the map on my phone. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's going to be really nice having CarPlay and having integration with things like messages that you can reply to people and stuff if you need
to. Yes. Yes. And then it reads me the messages. It doesn't show me any messages, but it reads them all to me.
Oh, that's good. That's good. It doesn't let you see them.
It does not let you see them. Oh, I would for sure. It shows, you know, like the little message icon, and then it shows the little red bubble. It doesn't show how many messages. And then if you tap on it, it'll just read you the message.
Okay. Okay. That's pretty cool. Do you have any kind of buttons or dials or anything on the steering column?
Oh yeah. There's all kinds on the steering column. So there's the two, regenerative brake paddles.
Right.
There's, what do you call it again? The cruise control, the smart cruise control or whatever.
Oh, okay. So it's got like collision avoidance and stuff.
Exactly. So it'll slow down. It'll keep a certain distance between the car in front of you, and then it'll keep you in the lane. But like it yells at you if you take your hands off the steering wheel.
Okay. Well, good. Good.
Don't ask me how I know that. But you could. Like I had my hands. Like I was like, ooh, because my other car did not have that at all. It just had regular cruise control, and so I was just like lightly touching the steering wheel, and it was like turning the car as the road was turning.
Oh, nice, nice.
It was cool. Yeah. And then it was like keeping a consistent distance between me and the car in front of me. And
how slow can it go with that? Keeping the distance between you and the car in front of you. Will it come to a complete stop and then accelerate again?
I don't know. I haven't tried that yet, but it did like a car, like, cause there was a lot of space between me and the car in front. A car came in and it instantly, like I could feel it like significantly slowing me down. So
I remember just 100 years ago, our Hughes Aircraft was owned by General Motors. And so Steve got some chances to see some of the work that was being done between the two companies of collision avoidance radars. And he got to be in a car where they did that, where they pulled in between two cars and then it slowed down to keep the distance. And then they pulled out and it accelerated. And I remember just thinking, wow, that is so futuristic. And
living in the future.
If you have a spaceship, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You were going to say something else when I interrupted you, though.
Do you remember?
All right. I'll ask another question then.
Okay.
One of the things I measure cars on is how easy is it to connect your phone over Bluetooth? And I do that because the Acura was horrible. It was so hard. Like I would eventually give up and Steve would have to do it. We finally made a rule that my car was on Bluetooth in my car. His was on Bluetooth in his car. And if we needed to use the other one, that phone got plugged in because it was such a nightmare.
Okay. Yeah. It was super easy. It was just, you know, search. And then you just enter the code that like pops up on the screen. You don't enter a code. It says, is this the code that's matching the one on the screen? And then you just connect. Super easy.
Oh, nice. And then did it suck in your contacts? Did it try to do that? Or
it did ask me and I said no.
Okay. You don't need to, right? Because you have CarPlay.
No, because of CarPlay. And I'm like, no, I don't. Yeah, I don't need that.
You don't need that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't have CarPlay. So I did say, I had to say yes. Mm-hmm. So you've got a backup camera. How life-changing is that?
I do. Oh my gosh. And when like, if I'm at a stoplight or I'm under, I don't know what the miles per hour is. It might just be like 5 or 10. I can push a button, a real button, and turn it on so I can see behind me. So like if I'm pulling out of somewhere and I can't see behind me, if a car is coming, I can turn it on and then I can see if a car is coming.
Oh, that's interesting, but only at low speed.
Interesting. Yeah.
Do you feel it's wide enough? Is it a good view?
Oh yeah. Today when I was backing out of a spot, there was a guy like way off to the side, but I could see him on the camera and I thought he was closer. And then I turned around and looked and I was like, he's way over there. It's like really wide, but it's not too distorted. You know, it's not like all fisheye or anything, but it does give a wide, very wide angle lens.
Oh, interesting. So in this case, images in camera view are farther than they appear.
Yes, exactly.
I would rather that. You know, it's funny. Yeah. Our friend Kevin is very old school, and he says, "Well, I've been looking over my shoulder and in the side view mirror since I learned to drive, and I don't need no newfangled technology here." But I can absolutely see way more than I can see by looking over my shoulder. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't have a backup camera before, so I'm still like, you know, looking to the side, looking behind me. But now it's like, oh, okay, I guess. Okay, I forget, like, oh, it's right there in front of me. I don't have to, like, crane my neck around to try to see. Yeah. Oh, and then that's another thing is the back window, because it's angled, like, when you're looking in the rearview mirror, it's very small. Like, it doesn't have a great view back there, but I can see everything in the side mirrors. And then there's the backup camera. So it hasn't really been like an issue.
That's interesting. That's the same with Steve's car. He has the Tesla Model Y, and it's like a postage stamp mirror window.
Yeah,
I still wish
it is.
The thing I don't like about both of our cars is that the rearview mirror is small. So the window is small, but the rearview mirror, like, you have to be lined up exactly correctly with your head to get the whole window into it. As small as it is, it's like, you could have made that a little bigger and I wouldn't have to keep, you know, going side to side trying to, there's the whole thing. I still look out the back of mine. There's hardly any point in trying because, like you say, it's so small.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Now, the door handles on Teslas are weird. Is there any weirdness about the door handles with
the same.
Oh, really?
They're the flush door handles.
Okay.
And then, okay. So I have the model, the Kia EV6, just the straight up EV6. There's also a GT model and a GTS. In the GT and the GTS, the handles pop out when you like unlock it or when you walk up to it with the key, but the regular Kia EV6, they don't pop out. Okay. So it's like, I have to like explain when people walk up to the car, like, okay, you have to like push it and then pull it.
So does it push and it tilts at an angle?
Yeah. You have to push it in one side and then it comes out the other side.
Yeah.
But it's not like it doesn't just automatically pop out.
Okay, that's like the Model 3 and the Model Y are like that. And I absolutely love watching people walk up to the car and say they're going, I don't know how to get in.
Yeah.
They also don't know how to get out, which is really fun. How do you?
Oh, that's interesting. There's a door handle regular.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, we've got, there is a door handle, but you're not supposed to use that because the window actually slides up into a slot. And so what they want you to do is push this electronic button that partially pulls the window down a little bit and then it opens the door. But it looks like a window button. It doesn't look like a door handle. So people sit there going, I had a woman in my backseat. She's got a PhD, could not get out of the car. And I wasn't going to tell her because, you know, it was funny.
I was in the Model Y. That's like the one that's like a little hatchbacky, right?
Crossover.
And
not a hatchback.
I do remember in the back seat, it's like that too, right? It's kind of, I'm like, how do I get out of here? I don't know where the handle is. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know how to get out.
Is there anything you don't like about the car?
I wish that that the door handles would pop out. Like, just because, not for me, because now I know how to get in and out, but like so far, I guess once everybody I know has gotten into the car, I won't have to explain it anymore, but it's like push on the right side and it'll pop out and then you can like get in the car, you know, cause it's a little bit weird. The door handles, but the thing with the GT and the GTS is they both had like white interior, like, and it wasn't fully white, but like in one of them, the whole seat was white. And I was like, no. And then the other one had like trim white. And I was like, I don't want white in here. Like, it's going to get dirty. Cause the Volvo I had was the light, like a really light, leather. And it was filthy. And I was like, I don't want that in here.
Okay.
I also wish that, and this is just little, but I wish that like, it has the thing where I can tap the door handle and, my door will unlock if my keys are put away, but all the doors will not unlock.
Okay. That might be,
you know,
a
and I know that's like a safety.
Yeah.
I looked everywhere and it's like, no, you cannot do that.
Oh, wow.
I looked everywhere. But I'm wondering if, I wonder if that's something that they could, I don't know. Could they update that?
Oh, I'm sure.
Cause I just wish that like, even if I had to tap the door handle twice, you know, like, cause for safety issues, like if you're, I don't know, running from someone, I guess you obviously wouldn't want all the doors to unlock.
Right.
But it is like, you know, I just want to be able to walk up to it and just like easily unlock the doors for everybody who's getting in. But also, you know, first world problems, I could just get the key out and push the button twice.
So that's a good question. How do you unlock the car, and how do you drive the car? How do you make it go?
Okay, so unlock the car. If no one's with me, I just, you know, push the door handle and the door unlocks.
Because you've and got then a fob near it?
I have a fob in my pocket no, there's a fob and it's in my pocket or my purse. Sometimes, and then I have leggings and they have pockets, okay? Because we live in the future and now leggings even have pockets.
We have whined about that enough that they finally said, fine, we'll give you pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm wearing pants right now that do not have pockets. They have little fake, they're jeans and they have little fake pockets. There's nothing there.
Oh, no. I need a pocket.
I thought about cutting it open with a seam ripper and putting a pocket in.
I do like when you get in. Okay, like, well, first, let me back up. When you get out and you turn the car off, the seat like backs up.
Oh, so it's easy to get
in
and out.
And then you can get in and out. And then when you get in, and you close the door, the seat goes forward.
Okay, to the memory position that you've set.
To the memory position that you set. And then you just push a button like you're living in the future and the car turns on. But I have...
How do you know it's on? You can't hear it,
I don't even
right?
know sometimes. That's what I just was saying. I have turned it on and off several times in a row because I don't even know. But then like when I do turn it on, a little thing on my screen in front of the driver does pop up that says ready to drive.
Okay.
And then, but then you can't, like, if you're sitting there and you talk to somebody and then you're like, I don't know, did I turn the car on? I don't remember.
Oh, because it goes away?
Yeah, because it goes away. So then I end up turning it off and then I'm like, wait, I don't think the car's on anymore. And then I have to turn it back on.
You'll probably get used to that.
Yeah.
What about, I'm going to call it gear shifting, but that's not really what, I guess not what it is, but you do still have to go forward to reverse, right?
Yes. So there's a little knob. And it has reverse, neutral, and drive. And then there's a P in the middle for park that you push a button for park.
Okay.
So, and then you just turn it to the right for drive and turn it to the left for reverse. But for some reason, I want to turn it to the left for drive and to the right for reverse. And I have not run into anything yet. Okay.
Yeah, but you like, notice right away.
I'm going backwards. Wait, I'm going forward.
The nice thing is if you're trying to go forward and the backup camera comes on, you know you had a hint that maybe you did the wrong one.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Or you want to back up and there is no backup camera. You're like,
I know. I'm like, wait a second. And then sometimes I'm in drive and then it's like, you're already in drive. And then I put it in drive again and it says you've already selected that gear. And I'm like, okay.
A little snarky there.
Yeah, rude.
You know, I'd like to say that I am 100% consistent after 2 years in my car of knowing which gear I'm in, but there are times where I try to put it in reverse and I forget to put my foot on the brake. It's like, put the brake on, moron. I'm not going to change gears without you being in park, you know, keep the brake.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this
I do like it's very comfortable too. Like the seats are very comfortable.
Really?
Yeah. And if you have a second to like look at how the seat looks, it's like got this very futuristic headrest on it, which it's very like a spaceship.
Swoopy kind of thing. It looks like it should be on Elon Musk's spaceship or something.
Yeah. And I forgot about this. It has in the back of the front seat, the driver's seat and the passenger seat on the side, it has USB ports. So you can charge from there rather than like, you know, like a lot of times the cars will have underneath and you're trying to like, I can't figure out how to get the cord in there, the USB, like you always put it wrong.
Oh yeah.
And then you have to turn it over. So they're on the side of the seat.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Are there, do they have them in the back? Oh, for the back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That is great. This sounds like
I guess you can use it in the front too, but yeah.
Yeah. But you'd have to ask the other people to help you plug them in.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Is there a place for your phone?
Yeah, it does have charging, that little charging pad.
Oh, okay.
But like it gets really hot.
Oh.
Very hot. Mm. And plus, I just charge my phone at night. I don't really ever, you know, I'm just in the habit of just charging my phone when I sleep. And so it never needs to be charged. So then the only other place to put it though is in the cup holder.
Oh, okay.
Which I don't love. I wish that, like, I honestly wish I could turn that off, the charging pad, so that I could set my phone there and not have it charge.
Can you, if you plug it into the car to run CarPlay, does it still charge and get hot?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. No, it does not get hot, but it charges, but it doesn't get hot. Just if it's sitting on that, what is that called, by the way, where you just lay it on the thing?
It's a Qi charger. They call them wireless chargers, but Qi is the technology for the coils inside.
Oh, okay.
They're magnetic or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So that little pad gets hot and the phone gets hot. So I don't like to put it there.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great, because I've heard that about some Qi chargers, but I use one every night and it doesn't get hot at all.
Nope.
I wonder if it's fast wireless charging is why, because I think if it's faster, it's probably pushing more amps or something into it.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like a really, just for closure, you said what color car interior you didn't want. Not that it's important, but what color did you get?
Sorry, I got, it's black inside.
Oh, nice.
It is black. And the car, well, the spaceship. Okay. The spaceship is galaxy blue, which is like very, very dark blue to where it looks like it's black. Like if I was saying like, oh, can you go to my car over there? It's the black car is what I would say.
Okay.
Sorry.
Nobody would believe you if you said blue.
Yeah. No one would believe me if I said blue.
That's good. I love it. Well, it sounds like a fabulous car. I've got to go out and take a look at it online and see what it looks like, and see if I can get some pictures and maybe throw one into the thing. No, actually, can I use the picture that you gave me, the spaceship?
Oh,
picture?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to use. I'll definitely use that. Well, this is very cool, Cheyenne. I really enjoy you coming on and telling us about it. I learned a lot for sure. Do you have any kind of online presence that you, if people wanted to contact you, or should they just write to me?
Oh, they could just write to you. I don't really like, I mean, I have an Instagram, but it's like private.
Yeah.
I do have a teacher Instagram, but like, you know, distance learning has not made, it's taken its toll on my Instagram account. Okay.
So if you want to go see the angry messages.
Yeah. But I have like school bells and tattletales is what I called it on Instagram. But distance, that's a whole other topic. We're not going to talk about it, but it has, you know, squashed my Instagram for school.
I bet. Squashed all the joy. Well, I appreciate you coming on. This has been really fun. I appreciate you telling us all about it. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everybody, prepare to be disappointed because I'm back. I want to thank Allison and Cheyenne for being so kind, and Allison for being so kind and sharing her content with me. I really thought this was a good interview. And one of the reasons why I thought it was a good interview is we don't really get the female perspective very often on this show. It's mostly just me. So it's really nice to get, you know, different viewpoints and just kind of different angles of the EV market. So I hope you enjoyed it. All right, everybody, the wait is over. Let's go ahead and do this drawing. So what I have here on my screen is I have a prize wheel that you would find at the fair or in front of some, you know, radio station's booth in front of the new gym that opened up in town. And everyone who entered into the contest was assigned a number, and all of those numbers are put on to this wheel. So I just want you to have that in your head. Now, I didn't download the proper software to get the sound effect, so I'm just going to hold my headphone toward the mic for the sound effect of the actual wheel spinning. Are you ready? Here we go. And the winner is Chip. Patreon supporter Chip. So Chip, go ahead and send me your address. I think I have your address somewhere, but go ahead and send it to me anyway, just so I can make sure. And here's the thing. You probably all heard the news this week that Rivian is raising their prices. I think it's like 15 to 30%, depending on which model of truck R1T you want. In order to help you out a little bit, I'm going to go ahead and give away a second cup. Because unlike Rivian, I can just absorb the cost. So let's go ahead and start. Let's with their spend here. And the second winner is Patreon supporter Jerbo. I don't know why I said that so dumb. Jerbo, you won a cup. Send me your address. Bodie, B-O-D-I-E at 918digital.com. I want to thank everyone for entering the contest. You did not need to be a Patreon supporter to win this. It just so happens that Patreon supporters did actually win. But there are plenty of times when non-Patreon supporters win. So sorry about that. But I do contests throughout the year. So honestly, this is the first time two Patreon supporters have won. So I don't know. I just listened to World's Greatest Con with Brian Brushwood, which is a really cool podcast about cons. And I just listened to the first episode today while I was working on the house. And it was all about quiz shows, and I think in the 50s, and how they were rigged and things like that. So I feel like I'm a little sensitive to this, but yeah, sorry about that. It's not rigged. I swear to you, it's not rigged. Please do not put me in front of Congress. That's what I'm saying. All right, everybody, that is it for me. Thank you so much for listening. The contest was not rigged. I don't have a guilty conscience. You all signed the paperwork saying that you know the contest wasn't rigged. Go listen to World's Greatest Con. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I don't know. I feel really awkward and dumb. Bye. You know what? Before we go, everything good starts with podfeet.com. So go see Allison and say hello and tell her I sent you. All right. Now, seriously, goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.